Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Open our service. 2 Timothy chapter 3. A few announcements. Remember our brother Dan Morgan, his father, in prayer. And his father's health is changing. He's staying up there this weekend in Cincinnati to be with him. I know the doctors are looking at some different things for Dan's dad. So remember our brother Dan and his father in prayer. Frank is admitted into University of Kentucky Hospital in Lexington. He went down yesterday, which I think is a good thing. They're recognizing this as the critical condition that it is. Last I heard, my understanding is he's scheduled for emergency surgery. And as of today, we would expect that to be done the first couple of days of next week, which is a good thing. From what little I was able to see at the emergency room yesterday, it could not have been better. We're just thrilled with the staff and how easy everyone made it. No less of a miracle than the parting of the Red Sea. It just a special time yesterday to see. And I'm glad that, you know, medically, we have some hope and some vision for going over the next few days. And I stress that medically, because we always have hope. We have hope in Christ. We have hope. We know He's in control. Even if we don't know what's happening Monday or Tuesday, we know that He's in control. We know that it is good. It's also comforting to kind of know what that plan is. So we got to see some of that yesterday, and we're thankful. He sent a message, and he stressed this a couple times to me, so I wrote it down, so I made sure to get his exact words. He says he thanks you for the texts and for the cards and for the phone calls, for the contacts that he had. And he says, make sure that they know I thank each and every one. He stressed that, each and every one, that's important. And he's looking forward to preaching for us again. And I know we're looking forward to having him back. So he appreciates each and every one. Finally, our brother Eric is he's in Danville today. So keep him in mind, the congregation there, and the message there as well. That said, let's open our worship service this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's start in verse 14. With all the changes in our world right now, with schools and with this, and with that, there's so much that we're wondering, what do I do? What decisions do I make? And I don't know, but just this one thing, this we know. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We'll end our reading there. Let's pray together. Our holy heavenly Father, hallowed, reverend be your matchless name. We pray that your name be glorified today, be lifted up as it ought today, that we may worship. May worship you in Christ's name here in this place today, that your message go forth in power, that sinners are called to repentance, to the throne of glory, to the throne of mercy, that the saints are edified according to your will, according to your word. We thank you we can't even begin to thank you for what we ought to thank you for. We thank you for Christ, for full atonement, full remission of sins, taken away by Christ's sacrifice, by Christ's blood on the cross. Full atonement was made. Righteousness was brought to a sinful race. For your people, we have much to be thankful for. We thank you for this time together that we have as a body, as a family, that we may worship, that you've seen fit to send your word to unworthy, undeserving sinners such as we are. We have much to be thankful for. Father, thank you. We thank you that you do remember that we're dust. we're needy. We rely on you for everything, for the very breath that we're taking right now, that we rely on you for everything. Father, thank you for providing. We pray that you continue to provide as we're promised that you do. We pray for our pastor and for Janet even now. Thank you for being with them. We pray that you keep your hand of healing on them, on our pastor, as you see fit. Bring them home safely to us in your time, that your will be done. For others, for our brother Dan with his father now, and for others who are undergoing trial, that trial work your will, and that you be with them and comfort as only you can, as only you can. For our brother Eric and for others who are traveling today, we pray for traveling mercies. And above all, we pray that your will be done. Give us faith to take comfort in your good pleasure. Give us faith to trust you in all things. Again, we pray that your name be glorified here in this place today, that we have this opportunity to see Christ once again. Thank you for this time that we have together. Pray this thankfully and in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. For the special, after the special, if you go ahead and come speak, I'll introduce Marvin. We're thrilled to have our friend, our brother and our sister, Marvin and Glenda, here with us. Marvin's the pastor of Katy Baptist Church in Paramount, West Virginia. Thank you for being here. And after the special, you come and deliver the message the Lord's put on your heart. We're thrilled to have you here, and especially thrilled to have you here. So thank you.
I wish I could express to you the joy that I and my wife have to be here with you. I love your pastor as you do. And I am so thankful for him. He's been my friend for years. And I do pray that the Lord's pleased to heal him, bring him back. He can be again with you. I know he desperately wants to be. And you want him here. And I do. I pray for you. Pray that God bless you, keep you. I thank God that he's given my wife and I this privilege to be here. I'm going to do something that I normally don't do. I normally don't start with an illustration. While I'm getting ready to, turn with me to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. I want to look at Psalm 62 this morning. And I've entitled this message, Waiting Only Upon God. Waiting Only Upon God. Glenda and I got up yesterday morning, and our plans were to take off just a little bit before 9. And had a couple of places we were going to stop before we headed this way. And we got maybe 5 miles, maybe, down the road. And all of a sudden, lights started coming on the dash. And I noticed that I didn't have power steering. And I said, uh-oh. And she said, what do you mean, uh-oh? And I said, car's not running. Engine's not running. Well, I pulled over to the side of the road. I mean, and it's a job, you know, when you lose your power steering, and pulled into a driveway and blocked the man's driveway and tried to start the car. He wouldn't start. Well, about a month ago, Linda was driving, going to see her dad in the hospital, and the man runs a stop sign and hits her car and totaled it. And so I've got a totaled car and a car that won't start. So I sat there for a minute. I called Chip Holbrook. And Chip's in Kentucky. I want to be in Kentucky. But I don't know what to do but call Chip. And he said, buddy, I wish I was there. And I said, I wish you were too. And the man that we stopped in front of his house, I looked up and he had a record service. And I, after a little bit of trying to get the car started and it wouldn't start, I looked at the side of his truck, called his number, and he came out of his house, loaded us up, and took the car home, and we borrowed a car, and we made it here. You say, well, what has that illustration got to do with the message? I'm going to try to preach this morning on waiting upon God. Waiting only upon the Lord. David says in verse 1 of Psalm 62, truly. That word interpreted is only. Only my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Now this psalm is penned by a man named David. And truly, it is a psalm of David, as David is in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And David could truly say, from a heart made new, I wait on the Lord. But the thing that struck me about the word waiteth there, and if you've got a margin, you'll see it. What it says is, silent. My soul is silent toward the Lord. My soul is made to be quiet, to be confident, and wait on the Lord. Yesterday, as I stood on the side of the road thinking about how am I going to get to Ashland? I'm scheduled to preach. What am I going to do? And I told Glenda, I said, Romans 8:28 is always Romans 8:28. All things. Now, we're all going through what we're going through right now. Different situations and different scenarios. But don't we know that all things have been ordered by the Lord? He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And if we want to know what the will of the Lord is, whatever comes to pass, that is the will of the Lord. Whatever it is, it's going to be shown to be to the glory of Almighty God and to the good of God's people. Now, these verses that I want to look at, I know this. Now, the Spirit of God moved on David to write them. And truthfully, as a man, a woman is made new in Christ. And as we look at these verses, we're going to realize there's some things that truly you say, well, a believer can't say that. Well, yes, a believer can in the Lord. In himself, Paul said, I see in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. But for a believer to pen what God has said concerning his state, his walk in this life, is truly a blessing. And I pray that the Lord bless these words to our heart this morning. Truly, my soul, that regenerated self, that new man, my soul is silent toward the Lord. My soul waits upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. Now, we do wait on the Lord. Waiting is absolutely, I'll just speak from experience, waiting to me is absolutely one of the most trying things that I could possibly say. To wait and to seek God's face and to know what is the Lord doing. I've told many people, when I was growing up, my dad had a saying, and it was this. He said, boy, we're going to do something today if it's wrong. I grew up with that attitude. I'm going to do something. It's so much easier for me to do something than to wait and to seek and to pray that God be pleased. Give me patience to wait on the Lord. While we're waiting, here's what the Spirit of God moved from Paul to say in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We wait believing that He is going to bring His will to pass. I know He is. Isaiah 46:10 says, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So whenever the Spirit of God moved on David to write, my soul, my living being, we're all born with a nature dead. A nature that's not going to wait on God. But for David to say, my soul is only continually waiting and silent. It's confident. It's still. It is waiting upon the Lord. No murmuring. That's what it means. My soul doesn't murmur against God. You say, how can you say that? That which is born of God sinneth not. The only way I know that that soul is that the Spirit of God told me that. Because I'm real honest with you. I don't see that in me. Somebody says, I see myself perfectly waiting on God. Can anybody really say that? I always see myself waiting on God. And the Spirit of God has said that a believer does. All the struggles, truly, only, his soul waited on God. And the Spirit of God directed him to confess his mind. And to set forth that peace that he knew that all things were in the hands of Almighty God. And he told him, the Spirit of God told him to set forth that his safety, his deliverance, his victory came only from the God of his hope. You tell my people that. You tell them that I am the Lord. And David's desire, this is what a believer wants. I want to wait on him. What David's confession did was it drove a believer to see that all of his confidence in the Lord. Now you think, when David said, my soul waiteth upon God. Who's the only one that ever waited on God in his own merit? The Lord Jesus Christ. All of our hope, all of our peace. Why? Because as I said a while ago, Paul said, I know that in my flesh, I know that dwelleth no good thing. To will is present with me, but how to accomplish that which I would, I find not. So the only one Almighty God is well pleased with is the one that truthfully can say this. This is a psalm of David. But the Spirit of God is speaking of Christ. All of our hope. Here's what the Lord said concerning himself. John chapter 8 verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. According to his righteousness that he earned, that he has imputed to his people, being found in him, a believer can say that, being found in Christ. Only the Lord has perfectly obeyed his Father. Verse 2, he only is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly move. Now, he is my only rock. He is my only defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And the word only there, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ again is set forth. I read it again this morning and I thought to myself, how easily my heart is turned away from confidence, from peace. We look at things and mess and stuff. Somebody would say, I only see myself only always trusting the Lord. You let the Dow drop 1,000 points. And I'm going to tell you what most of us would think. We'd say, well, I don't ever put my confidence in that. David, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. Here's what Christ said. He, the Father, is my only rock. He is my only defense. He is my only deliverance. He's my only safety. And we struggle. We struggle. We struggle with ourselves because we don't want to admit it, but we will. We look to us. We rest in us. And that, as Paul says, grieves me. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Resting in the Father only. The great Savior and priest of the Lord Jesus Christ did that which we cannot do because of the flesh. And we do struggle. And he confessed that while being hated of those that knew him not, he said something that you and I truly know and believe. Now listen to what he said in verse 2, the latter part. I shall not be greatly moved. Now I guarantee you a believer believes that. He believes that he's kept by the power of God through faith. I'm going to just read something. Proverbs. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. Let me just read this to you. Proverbs 24:16. For the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now, here's what the scripture says concerning a believer. The just man falleth into calamities, and he does rise up. Why? Because he's kept by the power of God through faith. The Lord's not going to leave him to himself. But the wicked falls into ruin. And so here's the Lord Jesus Christ back in Psalm 62 and verse 2. I shall not be greatly moved. Here is Christ himself speaking as the head of his people. Speaking of their safety in him. I shall not. Speaking of his body. I shall not be greatly moved. And for that I'm so thankful. We do fall. And we do struggle. We do waver. We slip, but we're kept. Oh, for the Lord Jesus Christ, though. He was despised. He was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with griefs. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, smitten of God, afflicted, wounded, for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and in every suffering, every sorrow, his righteous soul waited only on God. Oh, what comfort. What peace to know that here, as our representative, our federal head, our righteousness, we stand before God accepted in the Beloved. Then the Spirit of God moved on David to pen a question that again could only be asked by our omnipotent Lord and Savior, verses 3 and 4. He says, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Now, who could know the thoughts and the imaginations of men concerning their mischief and their assaults and their attacks against the man, the Lord Jesus? Mischief against him who is the delight of Almighty God and of God's choosing, that man that has eternally stood as the representative and the surety and the salvation of all God's elect. Here, the Spirit of God reveals that which shall surely come to pass against those that stand in rebellion and resentment and die in that state against the Lord. All of your attempts, he said, against the man himself, they're going to come to nothing except your destruction, your demise, all your efforts to cast him down. And that's what we all by nature want to do. We're born with a nature. The carnal mind is enmity against God.
And here the Lord reveals, how long? How long? How long until we die and God casts us out, or until God's pleased to call us out of darkness and regenerate in grace? We're not going to change of ourselves. We're not going to turn over a new leaf. We're not going to find ourselves doing anything other than that which is by nature resentment against Him. How long? The religionist, that man by nature, has no other thought than to cast the Lord down from His dignity. Well, that's the very heart of free will. The very heart of a man lifting himself up. And he's going to say he's Satan. He just verbalizes exactly the heart of the devil himself. Isaiah 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Oh, man will never openly say that that's his goal, but the Scripture declares right here, they delight, man by nature delights in lies. He delights in that which is untruth, resents God's word. They bless Him with their mouth, but they curse Him inwardly. But then the Spirit of God moved upon David to put that little word right there, Selah. He said, I want you to pause and think about what the Lord has just said. Think about what He's just revealed. I'm going to read it again and then stop. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall. It has no foundation. It's leaning over. It's going to topple. That's what He said. You're just like a tottering fence. And they only consult to cast Him down from His excellency. That's the whole bent of their life. That's their whole desire. Man by nature goes through this life wanting one thing, to bring God down from His excellency. And man by nature will say, no, that's not what I've been thinking. The Lord said, that is what you're doing. How long? Think on what I just said. The Spirit of God's directed us to say. Think upon what man by nature does. And think about the grace of God that would cause any of us to be here this morning with a heart made new, that would want, desire to bless Him and praise Him and thank Him for His goodness and grace and mercy. Verse 5 to 7, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Psalmist seems now to be speaking to himself. He's going to say something. Think about how many times we've done the same thing. I told you about our little incident yesterday morning. And I did verbalize what I said to my wife. But I'm going to tell you something. I was speaking to myself. Marvin, whatever the Lord has been pleased to bring about is according to His will. Wait on Him. Trust Him. He's not going to leave you to yourself. He's promised that. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you to fend for yourself. I need to hear it. I need to hear me say that. Listen to David. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation, my hope is in Him. If God be for us, who can be against us? the theme of David's heart as he is born again. As one thought, one continuing joy. And this is only that which we can know by faith. Again, I said, how many of us would say, I find myself truly only, always resting in God? I believe you're going to say, Lord, as you say it is, it is. As you say it is in Christ, it is. Because I do see in me no good. David rested in the Lord God of his salvation. But in verse 7, he uses a word, and it is salvation. In God is my salvation. Now in verse 1, he said, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. In verse 2, he said, he only is my rock and my salvation. In verse 6, he said, he only is my rock and my salvation. But he says something in verse 7 that's different. He says in verse 7, in God is my salvation. And that word is a different word. It's not the same word he used in verse 1, 2, and 6. In verse 1, 2, and 6, the word that he used means deliverance. That is right. He is my deliverance. He is my deliverance. He is my deliverance. But in verse 7, he uses a word, and it's interpreted salvation. But it means liberty. He's my liberty. He's my freedom. I'm free. John 8:32 says, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Having heard the gospel, having had that gospel powerfully and effectually born to our hearts from above, God's people realize, being taught by the Spirit of God, that they're free. They've been freed from the penalty, the bondage of sin. We're not under the law. We don't walk by the deeds of the law. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God's not left us in the bondage of the law. They're free from the power of sin. It doesn't have dominion over us. We're not under that law for a covenant. We're not under that curse, because Christ, being made a curse for us, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And soon, very soon, we'll be free from the very presence of it. David said, the Lord is my deliverance. He's my liberty. But he also said in verse 7, he said, in God is my salvation and my glory. He boasted in it as being his glory. He boasted in him of being the only one that's worthy to be gloried in. I can't glory in myself. What can I do but rebel against him? I have no freedom in me. I have no freedom in self. I see me now as being repulsive to me. Job said, I loathe myself. I told folks, Kate, so many times, I want to pray. I want to seek the Lord. I want to ask. I want to have time. I want to enter into my closet. As the Lord said, when you enter into your closet, if you're found yourself trying to pray, and all of a sudden you're realizing, where am I? Where did I go with that thought? I can't even keep any consistency in me. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Now listen to how personal this is. I know that He is the salvation. I know that He's the deliverance and the liberty of His people. But do you realize the joy of being able to say, as David said, look at verse 7. In God is, He's my salvation.
I know He's done something for others. I'm so thankful He's done something for me.
He's my glory. I read in the Scriptures where His people gloried in Him. Praised Him and blessed Him. But He's my glory. He's the rock of my strength. Again, I know He's the strength of His people, but He's my strength. And He's my refuge.
I think about when the Lord told him, "You're going to put Moses in the cleft of rock." I think, oh, what a joy God would put him in there. He put Moses in there, but He put me in there too. And for that I'm thankful.
My refuge is in God. Then He said in verse 8, He said, "Trust in Him at all times, you people." And listen to this. And this is what God's people want to do. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Now you muse on that. Trust in Him at all times. Don't you want to? Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to lean on Him and rely on Him and have confidence in Him? Again, only in Christ do we do that. And we do it. We do trust Him at all times. Because I go back to 1 John 3:9. Remember, that which is born of God, trust Him at all times. That which is born of God is confident in Him at all times. How can you say that? Because that which is born of God sinneth not. What a miracle of God's grace. What a freedom that we have in having this word taught us by God's Spirit. Pour out your heart before Him. Isn't it freedom just to be able to just talk to the Lord and just tell Him, Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I need You. Lord, would You help me? Lord, be my salvation. Be my refuge. Be my peace. Be my comfort. Pour your heart out to Him. Rest in Him. Tell Him what burdens your heart. I realize I don't know what to say. The Spirit of God has told us that. He helpeth our infirmities. But Lord, take what I don't even know how to say. And would you present it? Lord Jesus, would You offer it in the merit of Your essence? Would You, as the great angel of Revelation, offer it unto the Father in Your incense? And Father, would You hear me? For Christ's sake, Holy Spirit, say what I can't say. Just pour out your heart. Just tell Him, I need You. I need You, Lord, to teach me. Tell Him and rehearse in His ears for guidance and direction. Cry unto Him in the hour of your need. Verse 9, surely men of low degree are vanity. Men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they're altogether lighter than vanity, than nothing. Who else can we trust in and have confidence in but the Lord? The Spirit of God again moved upon David to lay forth the value of men. I'm so thankful to be here with you. I'm so thankful that I can be in the presence of God's people, those that I'm convinced. There's people that's here today that God Almighty's everlastingly loved and chosen to show mercy and compassion. Put you in Christ, and Christ has redeemed you. I'm convinced that God's elect are here. I'm convinced of that. God's had mercy, but as far as me being able to trust in you, or you and me, we can't have any trust in. We love each other, pray for one another. Pray God have mercy upon us. But here's how much confidence we can have in each other. Surely men of low degree are vanity and men of high degree are a lie. We're just men, women. If God, by His good pleasure, has taken some and has been pleased to temporarily bless, you know, in a few things, men of high degree, that's what it is, that seem to have excelled in something. Really, when it comes right down to themselves, they're just a lie. And we all admit it. We know Him. We're just a fading, false illusion in ourselves that can't be trusted. You lay them both in themselves. You lay them both in a balance to determine their worth. And here again, every believer here is going to admit this. Their worth is going to be shown to be lighter than vanity. Lighter than nothing. What are you worth? I'm lighter than nothing. Belshazzar thought he was somebody. Open the book of Daniel chapter 5 and Scripture says that one night he saw a hand writing on the wall. Daniel came and interpreted it to him. He said, "You've been weighed in the balance, that is, of God's justice and God's truth, and you've come up wanting. You've come up deficient." Man by nature is lighter than emptiness. In himself, no worth, no substance, no value. Therefore, look at verse 10. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. And if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Don't trust in your supposed strength, because we don't have any. We have nothing in thinking of ourselves to be able to handle the situation. Don't become vain in robbery. Robbery of any kind toward God or men. Those that put trust in themselves, in their own will, they're going to lose their life. And what they're doing is, you're attempting to rob God of His glory. You're not going to. But we try to. If we trust in the robbery of men, that is, just oppressing them, in whatever capacity, whatever it is, some people just think of robbing men just like with a gun or something like that. But to rob them of their character, to rob them of the, or if you're hiring somebody, you take advantage of them, of their time, and whatever, you know, you're trusting in nothing. You think that you're elevating yourself. The Scripture says, no, it's robbery. Or if riches increase, even in an honorable way. Now, man by nature, we're bent. We're for me. We're all for self. That's by nature, we're all for self. But even if riches increase honorably, and the Lord blesses the efforts of our hands, and we do have something for a little while, don't set your heart on them. Don't trust in them. They're just fleeting. If a man gained the whole world and lost his soul, he has nothing. He's going to be as those that man that his ground brought forth plenty. You remember he said he didn't have room to store all of his stuff, and he thought he'd just pull down his barns and build greater things. And the Lord so said, you fool. Today, tonight, your soul is going to be required of thee. And then whose shall be those things? You've heard the saying, you know, men that have much in this world, they leave this world. How much do they leave? All of it. They leave this world with nothing. Verse 11 and 12. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. God, who doesn't change, has spoken. When David said God has spoken once, God has spoken once and for all. That's what he's saying. The Lord has spoken, and his word, because he does not change. God has spoken once. We, on the other hand, David says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard it. I need to hear that which he who has spoken once for all, I need to hear it over and over and over. I need to hear it again. Again, tell me one more time. Tell me one more time how the Lord has had mercy upon his people. Tell me again. Tell me the character of a believer. Tell me something. Tell me what the gospel is again. Somebody say, well, I know what the gospel is. Tell me again. I want to hear it one more time. Tell me how the Lord has promised, I will never leave you. Why? Because I'm so prone to forget. I say, well, I heard that before. I want to hear it again. Tell me again when the Lord said in John 6:37, him that cometh to me. How many times does a believer come to Christ? He always comes to Christ. He's continually calling, Lord, have mercy upon me. Do you think the Lord's had mercy upon a man that has been given a heart to cry out for mercy? Absolutely. Do you think that man will ever stop crying out for mercy? The Lord has spoken once, and twice have I heard it. What have I heard over and over and over again? Here's what I've heard. That power belongeth unto God. I love hearing that God Almighty is all powerful. I love hearing again that he doeth as he will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for that scripture that I quoted again. This when I started here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I need to hear that again. I need to hear it, and hear it, and hear it. And when you come and you hear Brother Frank preach, or you hear a man preach from this pulpit, here's what you want to hear. I want to hear again and again and again what I've heard before. Don't tell me anything new. You show me in this book. You show me that God is all powerful. That's what I want to hear. Don't tell me anything that degrades, that takes away from his glory. I don't want to hear it. Unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. Lord, I know that you're all powerful. Power, strength belongeth unto God. Tell me again about how God has mercy on sinners. I know he's all powerful. Tell me again, has had mercy on me. Tell me what He's done for me. Lord, O Lord, unto Thee belongeth mercy, for Thou renderest to every man according to his work. You know what I know in closing? That God is just. I know He's all powerful. I know that all mercy belongs to Him. And I know He's a just God. If a man stands before God, trusting in his own work, his own salvation, here's what I know according to the Scriptures. Every man, every woman that stands before God and pleads his own righteousness, Lord, I prophesied in Your name, cast out devils in Your name, I've done many wonderful works in Your name. Let me ask you something. Based upon what you know from the Scriptures, what's going to happen? That man's going to perish. But if that man's work be a good work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, if that man, that woman's been made willing in the day of God's power to cast himself upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and places no confidence whatsoever in his flesh, if he's like that publican that wouldn't so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast and cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Based upon the Word of God, that man is going to see God in mercy and peace and hope. For the Lord is going to render unto every man according to his works. If he leaves it to himself, he leaves him to himself. If God Almighty has done something for me, done something for you, and we cry unto him, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Would you tell me that one more time? One more time, tell me how God has had mercy on me, and it'll suffice until I hear it the next time. I pray that God have mercy upon us, that He bless His Word to our heart for His glory and our good.
Amen. Brother, thank you. We're thankful for your friendship, and we're most thankful for the fact that Lord saw fit to give us His message through you today. Thank you. Let's close in prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had together today. Thank you for answered prayer that you sent your Spirit to point us to Christ. This one more time, again today. So many times we've heard that one truth, how Christ saves sinners based on His own merit, based on His own goodness, based on His own work. Only Christ. Father, thank you for seeing fit to have that message declared from this place to us, your people, here again today. I pray that your word go forth in power and accomplish your will. Father, be with us. Be with us through the week. Thou knowest our need. Be with us as you see fit. We pray this thankfully in our Lord Jesus Christ's name for His sake. Amen. You're all dismissed.